Welcome to Architecture Talk. This is Kevin Schellenbach with your analysis and criticism of the built environment. This is episode number 14 for January 2nd, 2006, the first show of the new year. We'll go ahead and start off today with wishing everybody a happy holidays. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I did hear a great greeting the other day. I don't remember where I heard it from, but it went something like, "Hope you received as much as you deserved and gave more than you could afford." I wanted to go ahead and start off this show with talking a little bit about some of the responses I received on the last show, and many of those were about new urbanism and that sort of movement. I can't say I'm all that into new urbanism, and the primary reason is that it sort of shifts the focus of neighborhoods to kind of an image rather than content. What I was talking about had a lot to do with the character of the street and the pedestrian nature of the street and the experience of the street. And it seems to me that new urbanism has chosen at some point to promote its ideas through images that are more about sort of a certain gloss of sort of false than about sort of content and the arrangement and the way or neighborhoods can be organized in order to get them to work well. In architecture in general, you know, it's more about doing sort of what's right, and that is sort of the baseline standard. There's a minimum that you do, and it seems to me that making good neighborhoods should be the minimum standard. And we certainly need to promote that, but the reliance on the image of the happy streetscape with Victorian lamps and lots of trees and happy people just is not the content. That's not what it's about. And it seems that too much the image is promoted more than the experience and the fundamental principles of what make things work. And these images are also accompanied by a certain type of architectural gloss that, to me, is more Disney-esque in nature. It's more about evoking memory than it is about projecting into the future. And I think architecture can do both. And the idea of what the future is completely absent from these images. It's more about copying an idealized image of early last century America and kind of using that to promote something that gets lost, some idea about the neighborhood and the city. So I guess I don't consider myself a new urbanist in the movement or the image of it, but I do in terms of content and idea of what neighborhoods should be. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is a response I saw to a news article, and it was some time ago that I saw this, and it wasn't recorded or anything, so my memory is going to be sort of suspect in discussing this. But it was a television news bit, I think it's 2020, by John Stossel. And he was doing a top 10 list of things that he thinks are right with America that are actually wrong, or things that are generally thought of as being wrong with America are actually right. And one thing that he used as his top of the top 10 issues was views on public space and the use of public space that Americans have. And, you know, it just seemed to me critically flawed because he began by talking about public space and how nobody uses it and nobody uses it correctly. And I agree, that's certainly a very valid point. But he accompanies that discussion with images of trash being thrown off the side of a highway in the country and the middle of highway medians and things that people can't occupy. And it just seems to me that under my definition of public space, if people can't occupy it, it's not actually public space, in that the public part of that means that it's about people coming together and about society. And when you're implying that these sides of highways are public space, I think that's an incorrect definition of what public space should be. What I see as incorrect about public space, or the use of public space in America, is that the attitude is that no one owns the public space. And I think when the news person was complaining about this, the fact that no one actually sees that they own the public space, he's getting close to the heart of the problem, because the fact is that public space should belong to everyone, and so each individual feels like they have a stake in the quality of that space. In order to do that, it has to be something important to people, it has to be occupational, and it has to be in some way social or public. And for public space not to be a public area, it just doesn't make sense. So if you look at the very definition of what public space is, it begins to shift under analysis of this rather cursory discussion of public space and criticism of public space. You know, the thing about John Stossel is he never really quite says what he's trying to say and just kind of implies it strongly, which in many ways makes more interesting broadcasting, but sometimes he doesn't make it clear enough. And what he seemed to imply in this one is that public space should be gotten rid of in favor of total privatization, which is obviously ridiculous as well, because there needs to be public spaces in all of our neighborhoods and all of our cities, and for us to use parks and things like that and recreational areas are good examples of spaces that he didn't bring up in his discussion that everybody uses. And if everybody that uses them feels like they own a portion of it, which is what public space is, then I think we'll be going a long way in terms of developing a more active public system of public spaces in the United States. Yeah, and one of the things that he used as an example that I just thought was very peculiar because it actually disproves his point was an example from Africa. And it was using the problem of elephants being hunted for their ivory illegally. And that was very common in this particular area that he was using as an example. So the solution to this was what he said was the privatization of the elephants, in that he meant that the village that was nearby where the elephants live was to be used or gained, they gained some sort of benefit from the health of the elephants, so that the elephants, in a way, a sense, belonged to the village that was nearby, and those people had a stake in the well-being of the elephants, and the elephants were thriving after that was made, and I don't know how it was enforced. But what that means is that the elephants had public ownership. The village as a whole owned the elephants, and they were public property, and that means they were well cared for. And so that example actually proves or disproves his argument. It proves that if everyone feels that they have ownership, which is what public space should be, then it will be cared for, it will be important, and it will be used. And those essential things were missed in his analysis and his kind of subtle political statements that he was trying to make. The importance of public space, as seen in many other countries, you know, especially in various smaller towns or tighter towns in Europe that have piazzas, and the people go out and they use the public space, and they seem to feel that it belongs to all of them. I was in Italy recently and saw this, the tradition of taking an afternoon walk and being seen and socializing, and after dinner walking through the public spaces of your city and sharing it with the other people in your city is something that was completely missed, and is, you know, a really interesting way to live, and it's a way to think about living that would be wonderful if it was more present in people's thoughts. I also wanted to play one little audio file for everybody. Coming in the background here, I hope you all hear a sound that many of you probably recognize. It's the sound of a baby's heartbeat, and so this is my little announcement that my wife and I are expecting. We don't know the gender yet, we're going to keep that a surprise, but we're very excited and looking forward to starting our family. This has been Kevin Schellenbach with Architecture Talk. Thank you for listening. Please feel free to drop us a line at archtalk@gmail.com. That's archtalk@gmail.com. We also have a website. It's shellarch.com, shellarch.com/archtalk. Linked to from that site is also the Flickr photo stream for Architecture Talk. At this location, I have been posting photographs that people have been sending me of interesting architecture they've visited, whether it's famous or not, and posting it for everybody to see. So I encourage everybody to stop by the website and check out the photo stream. And if you have any photographs you'd like to send me, please send them along. It'd be great to have a larger database of images, not the glossy professional ones, but the ones that we each have taken when we've seen an interesting building. Thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has a happy new year. Goodbye.